on this week's episode of I-45 Confidential.
So it's easier to just abandon what I have and go find something else.
Call it what you will. I don't need a man.
Ooh, the toxic side of me likes that.
My husband considers me to be his property, his possession.
Because you are happy that he's just physically there.
You are about to witness a conversation, a confidential conversation, between lifelong friends. For more than three decades, they've laughed, cried, yelled, danced, traveled, and learned together. They are experts in nothing, but experienced in life. Welcome to the conversation, and welcome to I-45 Confidential.
Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about a men's role in the relationship. Because we're women, we decided to bring on a male point of view. So we have a special guest in the house.
Yay!
Reverend L. Ratchet.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. We have Elise.
Authentically Elise here. I am rock steady and I'm ready. So let's go.
We got Kim representing.
Hey, y'all, it's me, Kim, the social butterfly.
And we got Mo.
Hey, girl, hey.
I'm Rochelle, friend least likely to call you back. And today, we all have a view of the way things used to be. We all know that things change. And so we're trying to get your male point of view, the things that have changed when it comes to males, black men's role in the relationship. What ways have you seen it change?
One thing, let's go ahead and put this out here first. Anybody who was born under 2000, mm-hmm. this applies to.
Okay.
It applies to them more than anything else because people that were born in 2000 and on up, unless they have a stable foundation that they were brought up in, they wouldn't understand what we're talking about when it comes to relationships and men and women's roles or whatnot. So I'm talking to mostly us. Mm-hmm. Adults.
You wouldn't go back further than 2000?
No.
Like maybe 95?
Oh, no, that's good.
Because that's our children's age is what I...
Under 2000.
Because 2000 to right now, that's 24 years old. They don't know anything.
No.
They fresh. And people that were born, I'm not going to just throw this out blanket. If they were born in 2000 and above, they don't know. Anybody below that, they have people like us that have at least shown or they have saw some type of structure. Even if they don't like it, they've seen the structure so they can see the differences. So that's where I'm going to start from. When it comes to a traditional male, black male, a lot of us, traditional black men, we want to provide for our families. We want to do the right thing. But a lot of times adversity comes in and men nowadays, those same men in that time frame, they give up too fast. So it's easier to just abandon what I have and go find something else. So that's not a good trait that we're putting out there now, because the people above, the younger kids now, they see that, oh, I'm just going to jump from this person. So when you're in a traditional relationship, it needs to be put out there. There's going to be good times. There's going to be bad times. So for a man, a black man, we need to understand what type of playing field that we're dealing with. So you might not be able to make that $100,000 a year. That's possible. It's just in the cards sometimes. So when you have a home or a girlfriend and wife or whatever that you're working with, those things need to be on the table, especially when it comes to wanting to have a nice house, vacation, kids. All that makes a big difference, especially when you're in a relationship, especially a stable relationship.
But that's not always the case, because a lot of times when people get in relationships, they don't discuss those things. They don't discuss a house. They don't discuss vacations. They don't discuss any of that. It's more of, what can you do for me now?
That's what I'm saying needs to change. So when you do bring those things up, and my education might not be the best, my upbringing might not be the best, but I like this person, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit and listen to my old lady and be like, okay, let me see what she's trying to talk about? Or vice versa. Would the woman sit and listen to this man who's not as educated as you, who's probably doesn't have as much income as you, but you still love that person, would you follow his lead?
I only think relationships changed when women changed.
I absolutely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. I was just about to ask the same thing. Is it our fault?
It is our fault. Because, you know, we were talking about something today.
I don't think it's our fault.
It is. Because
a portion of it I do.
No, is it? It is, because what you ask for, you get.
Let's be clear about this. Mm-mm. If you ask for respect,
I think women.
No, that's why I want to make that point. Go ahead.
I think that we have evolved to be what it is we were going to be in this society in today's world. Because, listen, I don't want to talk about all the systemic things that have happened, but it starts there. And we had to become the strong one because they were killing our men, incarcerating them. Like, we had to get to this point. We had to become more educated. Who was going to teach and clothe and put a roof over our children's head? You couldn't count on the father because things happened to them. Things happen.
Yeah, but we were talking today. We all grew up in two-parent homes. All of us.
Doesn't mean we grew up in parent homes that were not just functioning or had a strong male.
True.
And I will say this, that I know on my mother's side of the family, and it is what it is. There's only two of us. I'm talking first, second cousins. Two of us that are married to this day. Okay? Because sometimes we become so strong, we don't need.
You think you don't need them.
I don't disagree with you. However, we have evolved to this point.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't need a man.
That's okay if you want one.
You know why? Because we don't have it in a lot of situations. Unpopular opinion.
But I still think that our generation, where we stopped, in my opinion, is the females that we raised after us. They may have seen that we were strong people, but a lot of these young girls that I work with, and they'll come and talk to me, everybody's auntie, well, why does he do this? He only plays on Xbox because you allow him to do that. It's okay because you are happy that he's just physically there. We have not trained some of these younger girls to think that just them pop, dropping, and locking it was going to be the best thing for future reference. You're keeping this, unfortunately, this male young man into a role, and why should he change if you've brought him into that, saying it is already okay? Why get mad at a situation that you have absolutely enhanced?
Let's say you have somebody, they play the Xbox all day. I'm not going to train you not to play the Xbox all day. I'm not going to train, because me, I feel like as a man, you should know what you should bring to the table. I know as a woman what I want my man to look like. Tony, you asked a question about being able to follow a man that not as educated as I, or not making. I could, and I have followed a man that didn't have as much education, that initially did not have as much money as me. I followed him until I realized he was about to take me off a cliff. You can follow someone, and I think women naturally are submissive, but I think that when we start looking at you, we see, oh no, it's a problem. It's a problem. And so once we realize and recognize that there's a problem, like Elise is saying, what do I need you for? And I would never say I don't need a man. I have said this before. I'm a damsel in distress. I need a man. But what I won't do and what I won't have is a man that doesn't work and that can't lead. And as a woman, when your man can't lead, it's just simple as that. You need to know that.
What you were saying before, there's so many instances where you find yourself having to stand in that gap so much that you're no longer the gap. You are.
Right. And so with you, you're saying,
are the stabilization of everything going on around you.
Right. Like you're saying, the young girls are saying about the video games. It's fine. And it's fine to have someone playing a video game, because you and I have talked and you're on the game. You work. You go work every day. And when you're not working, I know you're going to go to the gym. I want to clear this up. I shouldn't say that like that, because Reverend L is not my dude. He is my friend, but we are good friends. He's probably my male best friend. That playing on the game, I could see that. But just being home all day and playing on the game, oh, you can get the fuck out.
That's our age, though. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm just putting it out there, that these are what these young girls are saying. They don't really want it, but they're accepting it.
No, we have to teach them. I'm in a cross-cultural relationship. My husband is Muslim, a traditional Muslim male, and so traditional male roles. Although our relationship is non-traditional because he came here in a position of weakness because he didn't speak the language and understand the culture. So I had to take the lead. And I was very resentful about that, even though I loved him very much. We went to a marriage counselor who was actually born in Syria, lived in America, married to an American Muslim, spoke French, English, and Arabic. So she understood all three cultures. And she said something to me. She said, your son is how you teach him. Your husband is how you train him.
That's interesting.
And
that
so
makes sense in a way.
So yeah, do you now, does he now lead the household?
Oh, indeed he leads the household.
But did that come from her professional training or from her culture?
Both, because she has an understanding of both the psychology of my husband's culture and psychology of mine, but also being a trained professional, understanding she works in America. Mm-hmm. I think it's completely true. Your son is how you teach him. The man is how you train it. You have to train, like.
Yeah, I don't know if I really
want to be training my man.
Well, yeah. Now, if you're getting smacked on the ass and you don't like it being smacked down, you'd rather be smacked up. That's a portion of training. So training is just a terminology. How you train people is always going to be different. You can't look at training as though I want you to do A, B, C, and D. No, when you make my eggs, can you put a little parsley in there?
I wasn't thinking about that simplistically at all.
No, but that's what I'm just saying, that sometimes when you use a word as big as training, you know what I'm saying? People can look at it like that's automatically going to be something adhered as negative.
It's an ugly term. It's an ugly term just to be said. Like, I'm training my man. Even in the context of how you say it, it could be looked at as bad. But what you just said.
It's a different culture, too, because remember, speaking in different cultures, it was very important because my husband considers me to be his property, his possession. I am his most prized possession.
Ooh, the toxic side of me likes that.
Yeah. And so what would you do with your most prized possession?
Most protected.
Yeah. But if you said somebody, oh, my husband, I'm his possession. Yeah, I ain't nobody's possession.
So let me step outside of that real quick. Now, you talk about feminists. Mm-hmm. Feminists want to be in a relationship, some. Mm-hmm. But what you just said about the property, that's something that they'll get hung up on so tough about, and not understanding that you're not technically a property, but you're being protected and you're being provided for.
Verbiage.
Exactly. The verbiage again. And that's where I think sometimes we get our wires crossed. We get so caught up in the terms and all this other good little stuff and not thinking about what somebody's actually doing to try to benefit and make your life better with them. Because this can veer off so many different ways.
Yep.
How many men have you all known that have a woman kept, but they don't care about them? Is a difference. I can have you in my household and I can make sure that you're good, but I'm not giving you all of myself. I'm not giving you what you really want.
But what do you really want other than being cared for?
No, I'm saying for the man's role. Like, I got you. I'm married to you. Mm-hmm. You got a house, you got a car, all this other stuff, but I'm out here in the street with these hoes. But you good. Mm-hmm. So you see what I'm saying about being kept, but not being cared for.
But see, that's when
trophy wife.
That's when cross-cultural understanding changes.
Because that's where some of the new relationship, like spinning back again years ago, Mr. John, he got a family over here. He got a family over here.
Think he didn't?
And he bouncing between both houses because guess what? He taking care of both households. But he might lay his head over here. He might get up and come over here for a while or whatever, but that was the culture.
It was an understanding between the women.
Exactly. So how that's part of tradition.
Yeah.
But it's not probably not the best tradition, but it's part of some people's tradition for me to make enough.
Or a role. But how about we just say, in my opinion, I apologize because I can't speak for you. If you're going back, like you're just saying, Mr. Jones or Mr. Johnny or Mr. Tommy. No, it wasn't no understanding between them women.
Oh, that's a small town, honey. It's an understanding.
Sometimes.
But there are those that they just have that. This is where I take care of, and I take care of over here. Eddie Murphy said, I made love to her. I f***ed her. To him, there was a difference. You see what I'm saying? So Mr. Johnny got two households. Where he takes care of over here, he's just taking care of because that's what he's going to do. But he cares about this person, and he's still taking care of them. But that's where he stayed.
But this is the thing. Can you love more than one person?
I think you can.
I think you can also.
You can love more than one person, but I don't think you can be in.
Yeah.
So that's where I disagree. I disagree because I think that's what, again, the terminology of you can be in love versus loving somebody. You can be in love with a possession.
Yep.
And multiple possessions. You can be in love with this car. I'm in love with this car. And I'm in love with this car. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to pick because both of them are yours. So if you got a woman over here and a woman over there, you love both of them.
And if they agree.
Differently. But I'm talking about agreeing. That's culturally, when you're saying agreeing, and you're looking at it from, in my opinion, from a Muslim point of view, which means as long as he can take care of those extra wives, yes, those wives will agree. But I'm talking about realistic relationships to where you may not know that there are two households. It's not always going to be sister wives where women are going to agree to share that man or that time.
It's like I'm sneaking out the door and you creeping out the back door. That was the kind of blue song. It was not talked about. The communication wasn't there. It was like lies, but you lived a life of lies, basically.
It was understood lie.
I like that.
A lot of nonverbal agreements back in the day.
There you go.
Always no.
Yeah, but we stayed
into it.
Even if you knew.
Even if you did not know, you knew.
Yeah, you knew. But your education was limited. Your finances were limited.
You're not wrong about that.
So you
stay quiet.
You got to stay quiet. Take care of the kids. You ain't got to worry about nothing. This brings a reference to that movie Fences. Same way. She was kept. She was cool. She was fine. She didn't like it. And he explained, which really wasn't the explanation, but he explained, which it was still bullshit, but it explained it. And he explained why he went over there. He had everything he wanted at that house, but he veered out to do something else because that's what he felt like he needed to do. And it didn't benefit.
And that's why Shaq and Shawnee are not together today, because Shaq admits he got greedy.
But at least he was honest.
After the fact.
After the fact.
It's too late.
But guess what?
It's not a truthful man if he's going to lie to his family and say he loves them, but he's over there with such and such.
No, he can love your family.
You can.
And still, it's not the same. It's like thirst.
But it's not okay. It's a lie.
I do not agree that it's not okay. I really don't.
It's an agreement if you come to an agreement. Yes.
Because about thirst. Sex is not love. And for a man, it doesn't feel that way and doesn't look that way.
You have to have restraint. You have to have restraint for the things that can pull you away from something that you have responsibilities for. That is, for a man, that's why the traditional man, head of the household, the bills need to be paid. Am I going to take this money to the strip club or am I going to take it and pay these bills? And you have to have restraint to know that I can't go to the strip club. I'm just throwing it out there. You can't do that. You got to take care of the household. Got to take care of the stuff because that has no reward right in front of you because your lights and stuff on, you take that for granted. Your water on, you take that for granted.
Let me ask you a truthful question. Let's take it down to the base. In your opinion, from what you've seen in this, how many years on this earth?
For me, 47.
47 years on this earth. What percentage of men cheat?
I'll say probably 60. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying 6 out of 10 because of people. I've done this before with just some of my friends.
Uh-huh.
I take 10 males and I know him. He on some bullshit. He on some bullshit. He legit. He legit. He legit. And that's why that's how I have 60%.
That's what I meant. In your experience, 60%.
Okay. I was thinking more.
Were they being honest with you in friendship? You had this understanding that you, or you just, you knew it by knowing how they live.
How they live. Knowing that, hey, I need you to take me around here. So I know. So I just been in those situations before. And I've been in other situations where I've had a friend of mine and been presented with opportunity. Like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. So it's possible.
To each its own. You have to be self-disciplined.
No, it's all about, you know, what you'd give up. It's not about gaining anything. It's just about giving up something. That's the only reason why they don't do it. Remember, I told you, it's like my daughter with punishment and reward. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do something because she'll be punished. She'll take the loss. Mm-hmm. But she likes reward, and men like reward.
Absolutely.
They don't care about punishment.
And they like games. They like the challenge, right? You like a challenge. You like the game. You like the challenge. They see life like a game board.
It's built in you. Like, my game is athletics, sports. That's my game. That's what my window is focused on. But I also know that when it comes to surface level, do I really want those headaches? See, some people like those headaches. Some people don't mind taking as many pills as possible, which are hoes. They don't mind because those are headaches. Because, listen, let me go ahead, let me tell you this way, too, because I got a friend. And we talk about this all the time because I know him. He know me. He go to the store, shit, girl holler at him or whatever like that. And shit, he gonna try to holler at him. So now he gotta fuck her and he gotta fuck his old lady. So now.
And it better be consistent.
And it better be consistent. So now you got somebody that's sexually greedy like that. Mm-hmm. And run to another lady. So now he gotta fuck this one. He gotta fuck the new one. And he gotta fuck his old lady. So now you got 3 bodies under your belt. Not saying it ain't possible because I know. But I'm just saying that's the heading.
And one of them's gonna be lacking. It's gonna be the wife.
Yeah, because he knows her enough to know how to maneuver.
Yeah, I use another M word, manipulate.
I was going to say that.
Right. I wouldn't say manipulate.
But
manipulation. Yeah. Manipulation.
It's manipulation.
Because on the man's part. Because
or whoever's cheating.
Your spouse, your significant other. Then I'm like, okay, I ain't got to give 100% to this one because she ain't going to trip because she tired anyway.
But that's not manipulation. That's just taking advantage of a situation. You don't have to manipulate anybody for that. You already know the routine. If I go to work every morning and I want to bring a bitch in the house, I ain't manipulating to go to work.
Yeah. So why do men choose to be with the crazy ones? Can you answer that question?
What?
Like, you might be in love with the crazy.
Is it exciting? Person. What is it?
I don't like all that bullshit. I don't like.
Did you try it though?
No. So I've been in those situations where, so to me, crazy could be calling back to back to back. If I'm not answering the phone, logically,
you're dead.
What made me not answer the phone?
You're dead. Are you going to play her shit? That's who you're playing.
Because I've been there before, and I've been in a situation, and I had to show. A lot of times, they ain't even crazy. They play crazy. They play crazy, and I'm saying they as in you all play crazy to get a reaction. So I've been in
who,
a situation.
Who is you all?
Women.
Oh, okay.
Who play crazy is call the phone, call, text. And it's, what do you really want? Not saying the call, but what do you really want? Do you want him to pick up the phone so you can hear him with another chick? Or do you want him to pick up the phone so you can argue with him? What do you really want?
Well, we want to know why you ain't picked up the phone.
But that's what I'm saying. Why can't I be at work? Why can't I be asleep? Why can't I be...
Why do you got to sleep when I'm calling you?
Exactly. See, that's the crazy part coming out.
What?
That's the
no,
that's
what's
crazy
more
part.
Important, that job or me?
No, because...
That's part of the crazy coming out.
No, because see, you could put me in your favorites and... And if you're asleep, the phone is going to ring.
See, that's what I'm saying.
No, why?
I'm not.
I may need something.
My favorite.
Why not?
Because why would I?
Because I'm your favorite.
That's what I'm saying. That's your interpretation of a favorite. Listen,
no,
I have
sir.
A phone. My phone is basic. Basic. I don't need all the extras and all this other stuff. See, that's another thing. And I'm shifting. I don't Facebook. I don't internet. I don't IG like you do.
Mm-hmm.
So don't interpret your reactions like my reactions. Don't do them the same type of way. So if I don't answer the phone, knowing me, I could be busy. I could be on the phone talking to somebody else.
Well, then you need to send a text message. And
I don't have to do
right
that.
Back.
I don't have to do those things.
Call me right
what
back.
I don't have
to.
But I need to be in your
have
favorite.
To the person, though. There's a level of commitment you have to the person. If you're in a relationship or you're just dating and that's just a person that's just passing through your life,
even if it's a husband or wife, I'm just saying, because you never want to put this is what it is, in a sense. It's always a little bit of gray area. You don't know if it's an emergency going on. You don't know, it's raining, it's storming, phone could have fell.
That's why you
oh yeah
the phone.
That's all understood. It's understood, but it's just a matter of, do you put that just in common ground? Do you put that person first if they are the first person in your life by answering the phone when they call? Because that is just leave no room for doubt. It's
that's
respect
basic
to the person.
If
you're
you
with.
Call and I see that you're calling, oh, I answer the phone. But if I'm doing something that needs my time,
it's justified.
Right then, that's the part where it's like you want me to prioritize you over everything, where sometimes situations don't come that way. It just doesn't come that way. Ooh, sometimes if I'm changing a tire and my phone is ringing in my ear and I'm changing a tire, if I answer the phone, now I'm talking to you while I'm changing the tire, but I'm doing certain things at the same time. And now you want to know, well, what are you doing? Why are you changing? That's too much.
That's your fault.
I have a question.
Could you answer why you were busy?
Are women our age still doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I just had a question.
And don't put it as just age, because you got away with it
for so long
20s.
And it worked.
Okay. And it worked and you got away with it.
But did it work? Because you still
single. It worked.
You wouldn't do anything.
And it still worked?
You wouldn't do anything that wouldn't work.
It worked, but it ran its course. So I'm not, clearly it wasn't me. So I'm going to do the same dumb shit again. Mm. And now it happened again. So
they're still on the same path.
And it's him.
Sometimes you got to test the waters. Mm. You got to see what you can get away with.
No, ma'am. You already know the waters are deep. You know
bitch.
That. You don't need to
but
test
see,
the waters.
You okay, you and I, we know each other. You know that I will, anytime one of these men come along, why you make that face, man?
You don't want my answer.
You know that I am going to not act a fool, but you already know that I'm going to give them my worst. I'm on my worst behavior always. You got to figure it out. You have to figure out how to get me. I'm always on my worst behavior.
You are not goddamn dog. You don't have to be trained. You don't come to a man with this
that's
bullshit.
That's not training.
And why would you come to somebody at your worst? Come
to you? Why would you come? Because I need to see that. I need to see that you can.
That's a game.
Handle the worst of me.
Because guess what? Niggas love games. We're the type of people that's going to lie to you continuously over and over again until we feel like we done lying. Even if you catch us, oh shit, wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. Blah, 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 blah. But you know it was some bullshit. And instead of having the bull by his horns, we're going to play the game with you. So if you come up with this bullshit, because niggas, we peep that shit early. When you own the bullshit, we peep it. But we're going to play the game with you. Oh, she out here doing this? Shit, I'm going to do this too. Shit, I'm just going to wait my time. And then now you bring this nigga your worst. He don't give a fuck. Don't care. He don't fucking care. He going to play the game with you until he's tired. And he going to find another motherfucker to play with.
And that's the point. I need to see how long it's going to...
He's not.
Are you going to go away?
He's not going to play the game unless you start it.
Are you going to go away? When you start the game,
he's going to play it.
Not only that, but if he's sticking around for your worst, he actually likes it. He doesn't want you to change.
He don't give a fuck. He don't care. He's going to use that shit against you. He's going to use it against you. He's going to use it against you. You're going to be the reason why he steps out on somebody else. Even though he was going to do it anyway, but you gave him the reason. So, shit, you over here acting goddamn fool. Yada, blah, blah, blah. And now he done turned around and used the same gaslighting procedures on you.
Okay. But does it matter then if you introduce that worst in the beginning or in the middle of the relationship?
I just told you a minute ago that when somebody tried that shit with me, I was done. I don't want that bullshit in my life.
But see, that's the point. But that's the point.
It ends either way.
That's the point. Either you're going to, my point is I'm trying to see how far you're going to, are you going to allow it? Are you going to deal with it? Or like, where are we going to go? Because I'm going to give you not necessarily my worst. Well, I'm going to give you my worst. I'm going to act a fool sometimes.
You're going to give me, I'm going to be toxic and I'm going to see if you,
I want to see.
I'm waiting. I'm just waiting till you get finished with this shit because you're not going to have enough time to reel it back in. You're not going to have enough time to reel it back in. You're not going to have enough time to reel it back in. You're not. Because once you show me that first sign of bullshit, I mean, it's motherfucker.
But see, that's you. And that's what I know. Okay. If you show that, then I'm like, okay, then I know how to proceed. Some guys,
it ain't no second chance. It's not a second chance. If you come,
I have yet to meet a man that'd be like, oh no, she's fucking crazy. I'm not gonna deal with her. But I've yet,
where are they now?
We can drop the mic on that one.
I'm just
they
saying, like not so. You don't want to deal with that type of shit in the beginning. A man that's been healed and gone through.
A man
bullshit
that's been healed.
And understand.
That's the key word.
And you understand certain shit.
Is right. Everything.
It's everything.
Right. Everything.
I had a chick that we worked in the same area. So I'm up early. I deal with these fucking people all day. I'm tired. I come on, take me a little nap. And she knew it. A bunch of text messages. Don't call me no more. All this other stuff. You must be some bitch. All that other shit. Ain't never gave no indication. I'd have been with another bitch before. None of that shit. None of this. Nothing. But
don't call my hoe a bitch.
Exactly. Why would I call them hoes bitches when they like that? And that's with no reason. Don't treat me this way. Don't do me this way. But you know what it was though? She had been used to being hurt so much that she wasn't used to a man knowing how to stand on his own.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only man that she never had to put her hands on.
Oh.
So I found that out later on.
Do all of that.
That's some extra shit. But this is what you're bringing to me.
But that's that crazy bitch, though.
Because the package looked good. The package looked good.
So let's get to the nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
The question started off is why do men...
Because that package looked good. And that pussy might be good.
That's
right. But their inside is stupid. Okay. Their inside is stupid.
So you put up with the crazy for that.
That's
for,
what some,
for a while.
Some
men marry that crazy.
Because they tender dicks. That's why.
But just because the body looks good, you willing to deal with.
They're not used to certain.
But you people. Knew at one point, in my opinion, that there was something off with her.
Yeah.
You knew that she wasn't healed.
They didn't care.
And they don't care.
They don't care.
You
why
said it's
care?
Okay, but my thing is, why not just smash and move instead of trying to stick around and be with what you know is crazy because the package was good?
That's that I want access to you when I want access to you.
Exactly.
So now when you smash me, now I got to pretend that I want you. I want it now, but I'm pretend just in case I can have you back around again. Because when my off night come around, because a nigga don't have an off night. When off night come around, shit, let me call up this crazy motherfucker. And then you come by. And then that's what it is. And then guess what? That crazy motherfucker do have some perks to them because they going to show you the attention. Shit, you better not be talking to nobody else. And that's a feeding, I'm feeding your ego now. She like me. No, she don't fucking like you. She ain't got no fucking sense. She don't have no common sense. She don't like you. So when it comes to, oh yeah, well shit, I want you to be around. And see, you better not be talking to nobody else. That's because, again,
that's
being healed, I done heard them little sweet nothings of, you better not be talking to nobody else. No, she must like me. This motherfucker's ridiculous. I had to understand and let her know, baby, that's not the way that you're going to keep somebody. Even though I'm telling her the truth, it ain't registering. So I'm doing my part, but it's not registering. I'm hating on you. I'm not understanding to you.
But why are you sticking around for that?
Well, no, I'm not sticking around for that. I'm being in. I done took myself out of that. I'm your friend because it's a common there because you like me. Mm-hmm. But I can't give you what you want because I know it's like this. And I've been in this road where a girl want to fuck so bad. She want to fuck around with me so bad. Why? I had to be constant. Why? So come to find out, she want to make her nigga mad. She want to fuck me to make another nigga mad. And use me as a pawn, so I can't do that. I have been wise enough to know that ain't going to work. So now this other girl, she want to fuck with me for whatever fucking reason at that point. I just knew that if I would have fucked her, it would have been a major problem because she ain't healed. Yes. So what the fuck she supposed to do? Bring all this bullshit to my... I can't do that. But you got to be smart enough. Again, that's where the Tinder dicks come in at. But they deal with the crazy motherfuckers. They don't understand. Because all they see is... They don't give a fuck if it's upside down, if it's stinking, if it's whatever. They don't fucking care. They don't care. They just want some ass. Mm-hmm. Huh. And it'd be little dick niggas too that most people do it. But that's enough.
I was going to say, I think the worst thing that happened to black households, and I don't care, this is my unpopular opinion, is feminism. I think that was the worst thing that could have happened to... Also desegregation, but that's, we don't have time for that. But I feel like that's the worst thing that could have happened to black women and men. Because like you said earlier, as a black woman, we're seeing these white women go out here and they're fighting for their rights. And you're like, oh yeah, we're buying into it. And then it's, boy, I don't need you. I can make this money. These people have shown me I can make this money. I just think that's where we lost a lot of our, I'm a dead, so... I didn't fall for feminism. I didn't burn my bra.
Okay, so let me pick up on
before
that.
Before you're a bitch.
I mean, I don't care there. Even still. I am very much, I told y'all before, I took independent out of my rotation in my car. I don't listen to that.
Yeah. Integration hurt. Mm-hmm. We already know that. We're going to put that to the side. That's a whole other different topic. So that is part of it. But along with what we just mentioned a minute ago, once, I don't even blame feminism completely, but once we started thinking that we can do without each other, that became a problem. And people that don't look like us knew that. I'm going to give you 60. I'm going to make sure to take 40 from him.
Divide and conquer.
So now you ain't got to do no plant a seed and throw some water on it. So you plant that seed and throw some water on it. Now you have what we are right now. So traditionally, and when I came up, my mom and my daddy weren't in my life like that. I wasn't sitting around bitching and crying and complaining because my daddy wasn't there. Because it was still other males around from the streets, from my church, from school, my family that didn't let me fall. You would never hear a boy, well, my daddy ain't around. Nah, that's a cop out. So now, a few years later, I heard that shit. Oh, my daddy ain't around. Man, shut up. Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear that shit because there's no excuse for you. There's no excuse for you. Nobody gives a But what happened is that, oh, woe is me. Then you got a woman that wants somebody to want them. So guess what? I want you to woe with me. So now you both are woe is me because I ain't got no man. And I ain't got nobody to show me to be a man. So now they stuck together.
No.
They're called wound baits.
Hey, Rev, how much do pity parties cost nowadays? Because it's been a minute since I've attended one.
Just as much as Audacity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The problem with the kids, and this is, I believe this to be 100% true, is their mothers. The mothers that raise men teach them how to do that.
I hate to say blame, but
disagree with that.
I put it on the mothers because I put it like, again, 51-49. Mm-hmm. 51 mothers, 49 the daddies. Because you can't blame something that's not there.
Yeah, but you're teaching the mothers are teaching their sons the things that they don't know how to teach.
Yeah. So they're just trying their best and they're doing it wrong, mm-hmm. but they're trying their best. And the ones that do come up and do good and all this other good little stuff, that's fine. But then some women plant those seeds in that man and that little boy that they coddle them so they can make sure that they can just be protected.
Yeah.
But you need to let them scuff their knees a few times yeah. and get out here and have some little some bump.
I'm trying very hard not to feel, you know, completely offended by all of that right now, because there are men around, but they do not take the time. Let's say divorce, blameless, man and woman, blameless, whatever. The child is there. The mother is not keeping you away. The mother's not saying you can't come get your children. And to all the other males that are around them as well, they have the opportunity. You see that single, you see that boy without a father around, you're the father or an uncle, a grandfather. You're not going over there and picking them up and showing them. So does the mother have left?
It's not the lack of male role. It's the overabundance of female understanding. And so you've making them a little bit weak when it comes to that. It's not because they're lacking a man's role or understanding of it. It's because that we've put some traits in them that they don't need to have.
Such as what?
Such as being soft and sensitive. And
but define soft. Because my son, he's had it. His dad was there, my brother, but he's empathetic. And so his empathy makes him look soft. He's not soft.
See, your traits.
He's just empathetic.
Your traits are your traits.
That's different.
Agreed.
What you're mentioning, and I completely disagree.
That's okay.
And I know, because I want you to understand why I'm disagreeing. If that child is with the mother 100% of the time, it's 100% of her problem. But let me just speak on that part about the grandfathers and the brothers and the uncles. That's their job, because that's their family, but it's not their responsibility.
You're right.
And that man who done left and everything, you have to detach your mind from him, because sometimes that man that you laid down and had that kid with is trash, and you want him to, you need to come get your dad. I mean, come get your kid and all this other stuff, but you know this on bullshit. So keep him away from him. Keep them children, or keep the boys away from them, girls too, but keep the boys away from that man, because that man is on trash. And you got a better chance getting a male who can bring this child up the right way. So that's why I look at it as not saying the women's fault, but the women have more control of how that young man can turn out to be.
What you're saying is when we as women know that whomever we have laid with, we know they're on bullshit. We know they're trash. Our kid is just better off being with us. Soft or whatever.
No, the trait part of being, I don't want to say soft, but you know that if that boy needs a male figure, then you got the Boys and Girls Club, you got school, you got your grandfather, your uncles, you got all this other stuff, but keep him away from that that's not wanting to be there. He don't want to be there. He don't care about the kid. Why would you, you need to come get this kid? Don't do that. You're poisoning.
No, that's pawning.
And don't pick him up every time he falls. There's a reason why in certain societies, they put them out in the woods and tell them to take meat from a lion, because it makes them a man. And we don't have any of those things here. And we keep picking them up, asking about their feelings and stuff.
No, I was offended by what you said. And I understand what you both are saying. And from a personal.
I don't have it. I only have a daughter. I don't have. Yeah. And so that.
But at the time when we split, like my oldest was about to enter high school, and the other one's 5 years younger. So it's not like they knew their father. My kids aren't soft, and I never pick them up because I'm not. Y'all know.
Yes.
I ain't that right. kind of bitch. You're going to be all right. Get up. Mm-hmm. That's not. But my kids ain't soft either. But how you started that defending, because it's not an easy job knowing like where to draw those lines. Those things, some of those things are super easy for me, but some of those things like teach your kids empathy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It doesn't make them soft. It just makes them more aware.
Either they have empathy or they don't. It's not something you can teach.
You're not wrong, but you can point certain things out to your children.
But also, right?
To make them aware.
Like when the kids come to my office, when they come in my office at school, this year alone, I've had a couple of boys come in and they're crying, they're upset. And I've had to catch myself every time. First thing I say is, stop crying. And then I think about it. No, don't tell them to stop crying. It's okay for them to express that they're upset. It's okay for them to cry. I don't care if they cry in my office, and they know that now.
I had to teach myself that. Don't tell them that. Because when you do that, you get, that's how we have these emotionally unavailable men. And that's why a lot of women feel like men are against them. I don't think that men are truly against us. I just feel like they're emotionally unavailable. They're not able to express themselves, and we shut them down so much and so often. But that was from when they were younger.
Yeah, but
that makes sense.
That's a defense mechanism. It's a defense mechanism.
But
I do it.
What? Do what?
I shut down.
Yeah, but the thing is, we all say we want a sensitive man who can cry in front.
She didn't say sensitive, though.
No, I didn't say that. Now, I'm okay. I want you to be emotionally available. I want you to know that when you come to me, and I'm single right now. So if I get a dude and he comes and he, now I don't want no crybaby.
Okay.
But if he comes to me and he's crying and he's showing me that he's vulnerable and that he is trusting me with his feelings, I'm going to allow him to be. I'm not going to think of him as weak. I'm not going to think of him as anything. I'm going to be thankful that he felt that way, because I want a man that can balance his emotions, that can do both.
I hate to say it, but that's probably not the best thing for that man to do.
Exactly. Say it.
It's just not, because
prejudgment, once, huh? Because now we're going to look at you like, nigga, you going to cry every time?
Yep.
It's mostly me. It's mostly me. And if, like you just said too, it's the fear of that. Even if it's never happened. My homeboy said he talked to his old lady about whatever and she turned around and used it against him.
Of course she did.
So I ain't about to do that.
But me being me. Now, I don't know about none of these other bitches out here in this world. I know about me. Me. You and I are friends, and we've been friends for a long time. Who'd have thought that we'd be friends this long? Because I didn't like you.
I know.
Yeah. But anyway, like you either.
Nobody
but anyway,
does. It's okay. You're all here.
But me being me, we've talked 100 times, thousands of times. I don't care if you ever tell me anything. You know me well enough to know I would never turn around and use that.
Yeah, but you are friends. You are not in a relationship.
No, I'm saying he knows my character. I'm saying for me, I would never turn around and use anything against any man that I'm with. I would never do that.
That sounds good. Mm-hmm. But to a man that you are trying to court, somebody that is trying to build something with, that's going to be a little hard for them. Okay, so let's flip back. Let's scale back a little bit. You got these new niggas now that'll sit there and cry in front of you and do all this and everything like that. And then they feel like that's what that is. And to me, that's not, because you're showing all your cards. You're putting everything on the table. You're crying. You're doing all this other shit. You have a disagreement. My neighbors are like that. I heard them this morning. And the man sounds like a bitch every time. And it's, you just have to stand on your own 2 feet. And if you have something to say, being genuine about it, you don't have to sit up here and cry. I'm telling them from a man's point of view.
But see, I also feel like that, your neighbors, I feel like he does that as manipulation.
That's my point.
I'm saying, like, if a man comes to me and we are talking and he's had a hard day, he's showing me who he is. He's being vulnerable. I'm not saying all the time, I don't want to cry, baby.
So
I literally just said that.
So that man that you're dating right now, you're not the first person he's dated. You run into my neighbor and he tries to date you, and he used these same manipulation tricks and the crying and all this other shit. And you look at him as, oh, he's just trying to be sensitive. Show his sensitive side. But he's a lunatic, and it comes from somewhere. I'm not saying you don't, for a black man, I'm not saying you don't be emotional with your old lady, but you have to be very cautious of how you do it. Because if you don't do it a certain type of way, it can be turned around and used against you. I would never.
That's because y'all pick wrong.
Boys are emotional. Men are not.
Exactly. You have to train a young male to not be so emotional. I saw something recently. I know all y'all probably saw it. Where on the basketball game against South Carolina and LSU girls.
No, you know we didn't ask it.
But tell us.
I want to hear
it. So it was a girls basketball game. And I understand that two women got into it. One of the girls' brother jumped over the stand and came to run out there to try to help his sister. And it was all girls out there. And I understand that's your family, but you are a male.
Yeah.
And you have to control your emotions way more than you all do. Let me just give you another example real quick. We're in a relationship, and it's a two-story house. We're upstairs sleeping, and is a knock on the door or something drops downstairs. Who's expected?
You. And why? You can get up and go through it.
Why? It's the same nigga that was crying to you and all this other stuff.
He better be able to protect
you. But do you see? That's what I'm saying.
You're the strength. You
exactly. Be able to that's what I'm saying. Don't pick and choose when you want me to be strong.
I literally said.
But showing
I literally
being
said,
crying doesn't mean you're weak.
It does mean you're weak.
No, it's because there's certain times. There's a death in the family.
Exactly.
Okay? That's a time that a man should.
No, and I'm crying?
Yes, but when I say this, my husband has not cried about his father.
Okay.
He's talked about it.
He's not cried in front of you.
But I'm the person he would cry to, if so, because I allow that space to be there.
I think you allowed that.
He cried, but he cried to you.
You think, but it's not. We got a man's point of view right here.
But I've heard him talk.
Let's see what.
Sure, go ahead.
Outside of death.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. The death thing, that's different, but it's still.
It can be hidden, though.
Privately. But it's very hard for a black man, a real black man, to break down and cry in front of his woman for whatever reason. Even talk about stuff that's emotional. It's hard because we have to be that umbrella. We have to be that pillar to protect because, shit, you might even be just as hard as me, but then you see me cry over something that you may feel like, well, damn, why are you crying over that? And then now you're going to look at me and say, damn, I can't talk to him about that shit. He's going to break down and start crying.
You know what I noticed? It was really weird about my husband. Every time we've moved the bed or if we stay somewhere or if we're in a hotel, he always sleeps on the side where the door is closest.
Why do you think that?
And we never talk about it, but I noticed it. And I said, let me pay attention. He's a protector. Naturally. If we move the bed, he moves, wherever the door is, he moves toward it.
But that's traditional.
It's not even a thing we talk about or we even... It's almost like a natural thing he does.
Yeah, it's traditional. I don't know how your husband, I know you say he came from another country, but was he the oldest male?
Yeah, he is. He is the oldest.
That's probably another reason. I'm the eldest male in my family. So it's different responsibility that just comes. And another thing, let me go back to the women part, getting to the male. If a woman has been the breadwinner, the leader, the business handler, she's going to have a hard time relinquishing that power to a man if she gets in a relationship with him. She's just going to have a hard time to. And I don't knock her for that because she's being protective of herself because that man can just run and leave at any moment. But that's where the bring that stuff down.
Well, keeping that in mind, Rev, evidently, I don't know how I'm raising my son because he already told me in case of a zombie apocalypse, if my ass fall, he going to run and tell the story. He said, Mama, somebody got to live. So evidently... These kids nowadays, it's all about self-survival.
How old is he?
12.
Oh, yeah, he don't know no better.
And he don't care. He said, I'm going to cry about you later.
I guarantee you this, though. In that same breath, I guarantee you if somebody at his little school or something like that was to try to do something to you, he'll fight him tooth and nail.
He did it already.
See what I'm saying? That's that zombie shit. He know that shit ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
So he just telling you some wild story.
But it's funny the works, though.
Back to what we were talking about earlier, what occurs to me, I don't know, I heard it recently, but I can't remember what the statistic is. I have the hardest time with that word. There's such a high men's mental health. I know this is not what we're talking about. Suffers because of all of these things. Some of these are preconceived and some of it's cultural amongst men. Some of it's cultural around amongst black men. The mental health, the strain and stress that you put on yourself because you are not allowed to be emotional.
Thank you.
You don't have a
Thank
release.
You.
I mean, sure, you can say that.
Thank you.
But you're also looking at you. You deal with a different culture. You come from a strong culture and you went to another one.
My daddy was a black man. My brother is a black man.
And exactly.
I've seen
one strong culture to another, like really. But what toll does that take on them? How do you know? I don't know.
Can I speak on that?
Yes.
They don't make niggas like they used to.
They sure don't.
It's a different kind of mold.
They don't make niggas like they used to because we don't have the liberty to sit here and cry and what's the word? De-escalate in so many words. You know, people say they go to the house and they sit in their car and just sit there. They don't want to go in the house. Mm-hmm. That's a small piece of the de-escalation. But sometimes men just don't do it, especially black men. Because guess what we do now? We go find some other hoes. We go find drugs. Mm-hmm. We find alcohol. We do all this other that takes me out of it for the moment versus let me sit here and think for a second. Because I'm from the country. So our remedy, so whenever some was going on, sit down and be quiet. So now and I didn't understand it till I was older. You sit in your thoughts and you think.
Peace be still.
You have to figure out your next plan, even though that you might not make the right decision, but you need to have some type of plan. So when shit get rough, like you said about the mental health, you sometimes you can be so caught up in the bullshit that you don't know how to get out. Relax, be quiet, and get around good positive people also, because there's a lot of times you can get around positive people. They help you with certain stuff. It's like, hey, man, hey, that probably ain't the best thing you do. And you got to let people have, you got to let people do their own too. Because sometimes those same people, like I got friends that's like that. Like I just told you about one. Shit, he on it. So I can sit there and talk to him blue in the face. But when he's ready, yeah, because he done came to before, man, I got to stop this shit.
That's everybody. But what you were talking before was used to, probably when you were younger, used to distract. Whereas now, coming and sitting in that driveway for a second, I do that shit here too. And my sister's, it's fine. But it's a decompression that needs to happen before you
Let me go get these. Let me go get these perks. Let me go get this fentanyl. Let me go get this crack cocaine or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's the escape, because now being the responsibility, I got a family. The responsibility, I got a ass job, and you're trying to find an escape, and that's what got us hooked on that. To where now, damn, this person, hot. Why would this person get on drugs? Why would this person have outside family? Why would this person be alcoholic? Because they were trying to escape something. And black men, so our strength was within us to be prideful and to be like, I got a family, I got this and the other. And then when that little crack just fucked us up.
So how do you decompress? You personally, because I know you have a lot going on. Different. How do you take care?
Well, you work out. So that helps with a lot of.
I'm different because to give you a little background on me, I'm the oldest. All my family has passed on, but I was the main one who had to take care of those things. So I knew eventually that I have to have responsibility to make sure this is going to be taken care of. I knew that. So now after all that's gone, some days do be tough. So I go to the gym sometimes. Music helps me sometimes. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I don't do no shit like that. I can suffer in my own silence. Where you just said about the mental health situation. I'm mentally strong enough to sit there and know that it's only 24 hours in a day, and I can let them hours go by, and I can pick back up and get myself on track. Because your reward ain't going to be tomorrow. Your reward might be a year from now. But I understand that shit is going to come. But I got to be patient, and I got to make sure I do the right things. A lot of times we want that self-reward then. I did this. I want my reward right now. And it don't happen that way. That's just reality.
What, in your opinion, is it going to get any better before it gets worse?
Small victories. You have to have small rewards, small victories. Like, shit, I work at the school. Every day is a small victory for me. Some people might have a rough day. Shit, kid, come up to me. Just speak to me. Have a good time. That's a safe space for them. For me, sometimes, just to even have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. I take that as a small victory.
We have come to the conclusion of another great conversation. We thank you, listener, for joining us, for being a part of our confidential conversation. We ask that you like, share, and subscribe all platforms. We want to thank our guest, L. Ratchet.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
We have come to the end of our conversation. We certainly thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again. Always remember that the journey of friendship is built on the path of loyalty, acceptance, and grace.